Okay, we got a short video to show in a second. Me and Bethany have been back for about a week or so, and excited to be with you. And I know most of you probably know me and Bethany. If you don't, we moved to Sioux Falls, South Dakota from IHOP in Kansas City about 2.5 years ago, and we kind of helped restart a prayer ministry. And so we have a new video that Bethany's brother made for us that kind of details who we are. So Rich asked me to show it to you in case you haven't seen it, like on Facebook or something. So if you could play that quick.
God, we ask you, as your sons and daughters asked you in the book of Acts, that you would stretch out your hands over this city, that you would give to us signs and wonders, healings and miracles beyond what we've ever experienced in this city, Father. We ask, God, that you would shake this city with your power, that you would stretch out your hand.
UHOP started in 2007 as a little prayer room in the Firehouse Underground Coffee Shop Ministry in downtown Sioux Falls. For years, they hosted weekly prayer meetings. In 2014, a new team of staff was formed to pursue prayer and worship. We estimate that in the first 9 years of this ministry, over 20,000 man hours of prayer and worship have gone up before the Lord. We have four areas of focus within our vision: the prayer room, gathering, equipping, and outreach. The prayer room is the first and primary focus from which everything else flows. Our vision is to host 24/7 prayer and worship in one room, where churches and ministries all across the city can come and take weekly shifts before the Lord.
The prayer room exists for three reasons. Number one, we're creating an atmosphere where people can easily encounter Jesus. Number two, we're contending for and asking for a historic revival that would far surpass the book of Acts in power and fruit. And number three, that we'd be a resting place on earth where Jesus receives worship unceasing, that just like in heaven, as the angels and creatures are worshiping nonstop, that we would be the same on earth.
Our second focus as a ministry is gathering.
The Lord has stirred our hearts to help facilitate and give vision for strategic prayer gatherings in our city and our region. In the spirit of Joel chapter 2, call a sacred assembly, gather the peoples.
Prayer gatherings we have done in the past, I just see people being ignited and some just realizing like what their heart's been longing for.
Our local vision is to partner with other ministries to host citywide prayer days and other strategic prayer gatherings for spiritual leaders and ministry groups who are reaching out to those like fatherless, human trafficking victims, and youth. We also have a weekly prayer meeting for moms and their kids. It's so important and enriching to come together as a community to pray together, grow together, and intercede for our community.
Our third focus is equipping. We have a heart to train up intercessors, worship leaders, prophetic singers, prophetic musicians, to minister to the heart of God and to know who they are as believers. We have internships, we have Bible classes and music classes for all ages. Our long-term vision is to be a ministry that equips worship leaders, that equips worshipers that have a heart to minister to God first.
Our fourth focus is outreach. We want to help fuel prayer and outreach coming together to see a great harvest of souls in the region.
We pray for and we partner with local ministries to see the lost come to know Jesus and receive healing and restoration.
We want to invite you to participate in the prayer room vision. Whether you're an individual or a group, you can come and be in the prayer room on a regular basis and just read your Bibles or stand with us in the prayer topics that we have, or you can join a UHOP team or even start a brand new set. We would love that. So there's lots of ways to be involved, and we need you, and we want you here with us.
Third vision is focusing.
We have four focuses.
Woo, that's awesome.
Okay, ready? We have four focuses. Okay. Is there another word?
Bible classes, music classes, anything. We can teach you how to be a chef, just like it all, you know, just like all to the glory of God. Plumber for Jesus.
Ready, Jeff? I'm ready. We have...
Bible classes for people of all ages. It doesn't matter the age. Forget the nursing home. Forget it.
Anyway, so that's us. So I'm going to talk about healing today, which I just loved. Steve, thank you so much. Talk about healing. I'm sure most of you are fully aware, whatever, but I'm going to just kind of inspire us to pursue it. And probably you're in two camps. One, you need healing. And I know maybe three or four raise their hands, right? It's probably everybody in the room needs some kind of healing. We forget that we have the long-term injury. We forget whatever. And I'm going to talk about that a little bit today. So that's one category. Number two is the people that the Lord has spoken in some way, or maybe what I talk on today is going to stir you up, that God has spoken in some way that you have a healing gifting or that there's a calling on your life to pursue that. And so I want to talk about that today. And this is personal to me and Bethany and to our house of prayer. About a year ago, in November, December, in our house of prayer, we had about 10 or 15 dreams or prophetic words that God was going to manifest some healing in a more significant way. And so we had about 10 dreams. Dreams were happening, prophetic words from people in our little camp, from a few different pastors in our city. And then we had some friends in Kansas City at IHOP that had some similar words for us. And we were feeling so stirred up that we felt like God was calling us to do a fast. And so last March, we did a 21-day fast, asking God for healing power to be released in our city. And we started it in early March, and then we ended on Easter Sunday, which is Resurrection Sunday, which I just love. And I'm going to share a couple of those dreams really quick, because this is personal to us. And then we want to take time to pray for the sick and then pray for those that either feel stirred or have been prophesied over before for healing. I had a couple dreams last winter, and in my dreams, I was like in the moment praying for people, and we were having ministry times in our little prayer room, which is about this size. And in my dreams, we're having ministry times, and me and a number of others were going and laying hands on the sick and those that were oppressed or whatever, needed deliverance of some kind. And in that, we would pray for them, and we would begin to feel God's power surging through us, and people would just begin dropping to the ground. And not like lightly where you have a catcher, it was like dropping like fire on their bodies and weeping and just getting some kind of an encounter with Jesus, delivered or healed in some kind. And so I had a dream like that once, woke up, and I was like, wow, that was really intense. And about a month later, I had the same kind of dream in the dream. And I'm praying for the sick, and there's other people praying for the sick and those that are oppressed that need deliverance. And every time I would pray for one person, I would go, oh! And just power was like surging through me, if you've had that happen before. And I would just lay my hands on them, and other people are doing the same thing. And they would just crumple to the ground. And I knew that God was massively encountering them and healing them instantly and delivering them from demonic oppression. And I woke up on my bed manifesting the same way, just going, oh, oh, like I felt power surging through me. But there was a fresh hunger to see God's power moving in healing and deliverance. So I go to our prayer room that morning after that dream. And my dad is on staff with us. And so I come to our prayer meeting. I'm like, God, I'm so excited. I had this dream last night about healings and miracles. And my dad goes, I had a dream last night, too. I was like, this is awesome. And we're just talking about doing a fast. And so we're still kind of in a decision mode. And in my dad's dream, he is in his hometown, which is small. And in his dream, he's in his hometown, and he's at a small little intersection where two roads are crossing. And there's a construction crew, and they're putting up brand new neon signs on all the corners. And he knew in the dream that that meant signs and wonders, kind of like a play on words. And there were old poles already in the ground from existing signs, And there were new poles being put in place, and then there's brand new neon signs all over the grass on all around the intersection. And I knew that it represented signs of wonders, that the poles meant some different stuff. And so the scene pauses, and the guy that's running the whole construction crew walks over to my dad's car, and he's walking a young girl in his hands to the car, which I'll get to in a second. And he comes over to my dad's car, and this is the end of the dream. He goes, "John 6, John 6. And then the dream ends. And so he shares that with us. We're like, what is John 6? We flip through there. And John 6 is mostly about Jesus doing signs and wonders. There's different discussions on that. But the very first couple of verses, it says the great multitudes followed Jesus because of the signs that he did. And then it clarifies that it was healing specifically. And so the guy says, John 6, twice to him. And then I start asking questions about the young girl. And he says the young girl was 8 to 9 years old. And he knew that in the dream. And so I contacted the people that started our prayer room years ago. And I said, when did UHOP start? When did the actual prayer ministry portion start? And they go, they sent me a letter of the first prayer meeting invitation that they sent out. And it started on April 23rd, 2007. And so I'm reading this past March. And so when I was reading this email from her, she was basically saying UHOP is 8 years old. And on April 23rd of this past spring, UHOP turned 9 years old. And in my dad's dream, the girl was 8 to 9 years old, somewhere in there. And April 23rd was actually Passover this year. It was pretty cool. And so there's a number of other dreams like that, but from other people. And so we did this healing fast for 21 days. And we took every single prayer set in our prayer room. We go about 40 hours a week. And we prayed, God, we ask you for the healing anointing to rest on the church in the city. All across the city, God, we ask you for the healing anointing. So personally, I've been really walking with the Lord for about 12 years in a sincere, wholehearted way. And healing and prophecy was one of the first things that was introduced to me by my parents and my church. And so I've been taught healings. I'd seen healings personally. I personally experienced a couple healings in my body. But this past March, this was like another level of hunger and excitement. It was as exciting as if I just heard about it for the first time. Who's heard of healing and done healings or seen it a little bit? This was just something different. It was like, I am gripped, and all those in our community were gripped. We had people from different churches fasting with us and praying with us. And the Lord was inviting us and saying, there's so much more power to walk in, number one. But number two, there's so much more revelation of my heart as healer. Because there's two aspects. God is the heart as healer, and then his hand is power. And of course, they're connected, but he was inviting us to meditate on Jesus as healer and also to ask him for more of his power, his healing and deliverance power. And so I want to just stir us up in a fresh way. And I'm going to pray for two people at the end. And anybody that wants to pray for people as well, I want you to come up here. So anyway, it was impacting us. And I believe that God has so much more. I believe that healing is going to be one of the most prominent signs and wonders in the church around the globe in the coming years. And so Jesus is healer. That's his heart. I think that Jesus wants to touch our hearts, both in this room, but as we are pouring into others, that he wants to touch our hearts to believe in him for healing. I know almost everybody in this room needs some kind of a healing. And you might say, well, it's small. Somebody else has a big need. Or you might always think of your relative that has cancer or something more dramatic. While you have headaches once a week, or you have a chronic injury that you're like, it's not that big of a deal. To Jesus, it is a big deal. And what I think happens a lot of times is that we have an injury or we pray for people and then we don't see healings happen. Anybody stepped out in healing for the first time and nothing happened or not much happened? And what happens to most people is we draw back sometimes the first times that we pray for healing. And then from that point on, we're apprehensive about praying for the sick because we go, but it never really happens that much. Or for me personally, I've never gotten healed. And so there's an area of our heart which I think is deep and profound, and Jesus wants to stir it up. And in our heart, somewhere we shut down and go, but he doesn't do it for me. And he doesn't do it that often. And now we start connecting the dots and saying God is passive, he's distant, he doesn't have compassion, he's disconnected from our life. Does he even hear my prayers? You ever prayed for the sick and you're like, be healed. Healing. Healing. You know, and you're like, God, are you even there? Are you listening? Because nothing's happening right now. And it raises all the questions in our hearts. The topic of healing, I think, puts us in one of the most vulnerable positions that we can be in our faith. That posture of asking God to do something that only He can do. Because prophecy is mostly impressions. And I can get a Bible verse impression or a thought can come to my mind. And it might not be the Holy Spirit. That's up to us to weigh that. But I can get something and say, you weigh that. With a healing, there's no guesswork. It's either something happens now or later or it doesn't happen. And so you can't make that happen. You can't get an impression healing. You know what I mean? And so healing is different than prophecy in that sense. It's like, it's frustrating. But another word for frustrating is it's vulnerable. And the Lord loves that aspect of it. He loves the vulnerability of saying, God, this bothers me. Why aren't you healing people every time that I pray for them? Some of you say that, or others are saying, why haven't you ever healed anybody when I prayed for them? Or when it's personal to you or to your spouse or to your relative or to your son or your daughter, going, God, you haven't healed them. They're suffering. There's a handicap in their life, and we don't see any improvement. And sometimes you prayed for years and sometimes decades, and you don't see anything happening. And what happens is that people's hearts begin to shut down to Jesus, just a little pocket of it, but I believe that God wants to open it up. Because I think that little pocket actually creeps into every other area of our spiritual life. And we begin to assign different attributes to God based on the fact that He's not healing us or healing those around us. So, it's a vulnerable position. But I think He wants to touch our hearts this morning to believe His heart as healer. And He wants others to have a fresh pursuit of the healing anointing. Jesus is healer. This topic confronts lies and accusations. Again, when we're praying for the sick, accusations can come to our hearts. But I think what happens a lot of times is that we've already got accusations in our hearts towards God. God, you're distant, you're passive, you're disappointed in me. I've been sinning, I've been struggling, I haven't been as devoted as I could be. You know, whatever the demonic lies are. And we just have that haze around us. And God uses a healing topic to actually address and go, those are always there. You're only seeing them now because this topic is bringing it to light, to focus. And so He likes to bring the accusations in our hearts to the surface. And I think we all have them. I think He's always turning up the magnifying glass in our hearts. And He goes, there's another one. There's another one. There's another one. And God, when did this accusation come in? He goes, it's always been there. I just never let you see it. But you've always been operating out of that to some measure. So He wants to touch those areas. I'm just bringing you into my journey this past spring. Fasting for 21 days, I was just meditating on healing stories and just soaking in it. And it felt like my brain was turning. Seriously, I felt like my brain, I was getting a paradigm shift of Jesus as healer. And I'd been teaching on it, praying for healing, seeing stuff to some measure for 10, 12 years. And so it wasn't like it's a brand new topic, but He was so touching me and saying there's so much more to my heart as healer. Anybody want this? You want to be healed or see more healings in your life? I don't want to just be used by God. I want to partner with Him in intimacy and know His heart as healer, be connected to Him and be a vessel of intimacy and friendship. And so it's not just about a power dimension breaking out because it's cool, even though I like that. There is an intimacy dimension where we can actually know His heart as healer, and we can weep over the heart of Jesus as healer before anything happens through us. And He loves that. Turn to Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. I'm going to talk about Jesus as healer, and then I'm going to talk about the power that He has available to us. And again, I'm assuming half the room knows this stuff and could say it better than me. And the other half, it's newer, but I'm just wanting to stir you up. And I want to inspire you by the Holy Spirit to pursue this with a greater intensity and focus, both the revelation of Jesus and His power. Because I think this is critical. This is critical to what God wants to do in your lives and what He wants to do in the nations. Luke 4. Jesus is born in the first couple chapters, and that he's introduced in Luke chapter 4. We're seeing the initiation of the ministry of the Messiah, of the Son of God. And so Luke chapter 4, it says in the very first section, Jesus was filled with the Holy Spirit, and he returned from the Jordan, and the Holy Spirit led him into the wilderness for a 40-day fast. This is so weird. The Holy Spirit comes on Jesus, and then that same Holy Spirit says, go away from all the people and fast for 40 days. And I'm sure Jesus did not say this, but I can imagine us saying it. But Holy Spirit, you just baptized me. Why am I going away from the people? I've been 30 years disconnected and in silence. Jesus was. You're baptizing me with power. Why would I go away from the people? You're baptizing me so I can actually go and minister to the people. And the Holy Spirit says, no, this is time to go into the wilderness because something has to be forged in you. And you need to be a display and example where the Holy Spirit wants to come on a group of people, or Jesus, and he wants a season of testing where Jesus is tested by the enemy to get the word of God, the truth of his identity, and the truth of his calling on the inside. And that only happens in seasons of testing. So the Holy Spirit comes on Jesus, takes him to the wilderness and says, I want you to confess the word of God to Satan for 40 days of fasting and prayer until the word gets in you even more, because that's going to be your preparation for your ministry. The preparation season for Jesus' ministry was 40 days of prayer and fasting and declaring truth to Satan, to the enemy. And that was actually preparing him to be a vessel of healing as he broke out of that place. And I think God has much to say to us about that. That he has personal seasons of testing where he gives us a promise. So for us, it was 10 or 15 dreams. And then there's been a delay where we've seen some healing, but it's not much. But I believe that he has us personally in a delay saying, will you believe my word before it begins to manifest fully? Will you confess the word to the enemy when he accuses me and when he accuses all the promises that I gave you? Who here has a promise, a prophecy of healing, of some kind of power on your life? And you're seeing a measure of it in different seasons, more, maybe sometimes less. Maybe you haven't seen anything. I believe that God lets us go into a season and he goes, what do you want to do? Will you speak the word back to the enemy? Will you hide it in your heart and let that prepare you as a vessel? So this is Jesus in Luke 4, and it goes on through the temptations with Satan. And Jesus in verse 12, talking to Satan, verse 14, Jesus returned in the power of the Holy Spirit to Galilee, and news of him went out throughout all the region. Verse 15, he taught in the synagogues, being glorified by all. And then verse 18, so he's in the synagogue, and again, he's been baptized by the Holy Spirit, came out of the wilderness in the power of the Holy Spirit. And he's now going to read a prophecy from Isaiah about the Messiah, about the promised one. And he's basically saying, my ministry is starting, and this is the verse that I'm going to base my ministry off of. This is his announcement saying, I am the Messiah, and my ministry has begun. And I think it's interesting that he picks this verse. He says, the Spirit of God is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, and he has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed. And again, he's talking about his Father. And this is Jesus' heart as healer. This is the Father's heart as healer, is that Jesus goes, my first proclamation to the world that I am Messiah. Now, my ministry is this. He goes, the Father has sent me to do what? To preach the gospel, which is good news. And the Father has sent me to do what? To heal the brokenhearted. Isn't that amazing? God the Father actually goes, I'm going to send my Son to heal the brokenhearted, to bring restoration to eyes, to set at liberty those that are in bondage. And if you look back at this verse from Isaiah, it's actually talking about Jesus at his second coming, and he's breaking people out of prison cells, literally, and he's healing blind eyes, and he's setting them free from actual captivity. And Jesus goes, my Father is such a healer, he's such a restorer, that he would send his only Son to come and heal you. He would send his only Son. So this is the Father's heart as healer going, Jesus, I so want to heal their hearts. I so want to heal their bodies, and I so want to raise them from the dead forever when Jesus comes back, that I will send you to the cross, right? Not only your sins, he actually wants to restore your soul. He wants to restore your body. God actually cares about your body in this age, before you die. God actually cares about your body. He doesn't like sin and death and brokenness. And so Jesus goes, this is my Father's heart. My Father sent me. And he's anointed me with the Holy Spirit to do this. This is my mission. And so we can take these words and go, Jesus, your mission as my leader, as my shepherd, is to heal my heart, is to heal my body. Maybe you're blind or have glasses, God, to bring recovery of sight to my eyes. This is why you came. It wasn't just to preach a message that was spiritual in nature and to completely let our bodies and our souls be absent from your power and your restoring power. So God is healer, and he proclaims it from day one of his ministry. Matthew 11, you don't have to turn there, but John the Baptist is having a difficult season. And he sends his disciples to Jesus, and they say, John the Baptist, our discipler, is asking, are you the one to come? Are you the promised Messiah? And Jesus looks at them and he goes, tell John this, the blind see, the lame are walking. And he begins to list off a bunch of healing and miraculous power. And he goes, go tell John that through my ministry, the blind are seeing, the lame are walking, the paralyzed, those that are possessed are being free. Tell him that stuff is happening in my ministry. And he'll know that that's one of the prophecies about the Messiah. And so Jesus was always highlighting the topic of healing. With this passage, I had a picture once when I was meditating. And in this picture, I just saw Jesus. And when healings are breaking out in a small group or a church or when you're in the marketplace, I saw this picture of him. And he was indicating to me that healing is very dear to his heart. That it's not like he's up on his throne going, yeah, go heal that one. And he sends this angel to go and do it. Jesus, not that he does this every single time, but Jesus goes, it's personal to me. And I just saw a picture of him coming to a broken body, to a broken heart, and him putting his hand on the heart or putting his hand on their body, and he himself ministering to that person going, healing into your body, healing into your body. The compassionate shepherd, the compassionate king, actually delights and actually treasures healing bodies because he himself is compassionate. Jesus isn't like healing thousands of people and his emotions are never touched, right? It's not like he's like just waving a wand and releasing tons of power disconnected from his heart. I believe Jesus is so stirred with compassion in his emotions, tears at times, when we're asking him to heal. And that it's like he's coming and putting his hand on someone and going, I want to heal you. And that it's just a overflow from his heart going through his hand. Jesus was sent by the Father to heal, to restore. Jesus initiated the healing ministry. Lots of people saw healings in the Old Testament. John the Baptist, it said, there's not much said about his power, actually. But Jesus takes it up to a whole nother level. I think of Moses a little bit, Elijah, Elisha with healings and miracles. And I'm sure there's a few others, but Jesus, I don't know of anybody that did what Jesus did. I typed in the word heal into Bible Gateway, and it brought up every Old and New Testament passage that had the phrase heal or healing or healed or something in it. And in the book of Matthew alone, there's 7 or 8 references where it says a great multitude followed him, and he healed every single disease. I was like, whoa. And at one of them, it says that he asked his disciples, hey, go get a boat ready, put it in the water. And it said that there's so many people around him because of the healings that he had to get into the boat because he was being smothered. There was a different word that they used. Smothered sounds like a food topping or something. But there were so many people pressing against him, wanting to touch him. He was famous. And I don't know how many people there were around him, but the time where he was feeding the 5,000, yay more, it's because they were following him because of the signs and wonders he was doing, which were healings. Jesus was like this massive walking revival everywhere that he went. I would have to imagine from these verses that he was healing tens of thousands, maybe more. I don't even know the population. But Jesus was famous. I mean, famous for 3.5 years, disrupting the entire nation. I wonder how far the name of Jesus spread beyond Israel because of the healings and miracles. So this is like it's not a small thing. And it's interesting to me that when healings broke out, deliverance broke out. I don't even separate those terms so much anymore. Because lots of times the healings were because a demon was hindering the healing, a spirit of infirmity. But Jesus wants to heal our souls from demonic oppression, from brokenness. And so healing and deliverance is one flow of the heart of God. This is just like a massive topic in the Bible. I encourage you, look up heal or healing in the Bible and see what you find. Revelation 22, the end of our story. The end of our story of when Jesus and the Father come back to the earth. It says this in Revelation 22, there's a tree of life. And the tree of life has leaves on it. And that the Father says in Revelation 22, those leaves are for the healing of the nations. God isn't some vindictive, angry, disconnected God going, you deserve that. You know, even to unbelievers, he's not looking going, you deserve that. You deserve that. I'm not going to touch you or heal you or speak to you. You're wicked people. You're unjust. You know, I can't say tons on that topic right now, but he is so near. He's so compassionate. He so longs to heal and restore everything in your heart and your body and those around us. And why doesn't he do it 100% of the time? You got to read books and read the Bible. That's not my point today. You have to ask that question, though. You have to ask that question. And I want to beg you not to let go of that question. For me, Jesus, why don't you heal 100% of the time when I pray for the sick? And the Holy Spirit goes, good question. Ask it again. Ask it again. Ask it again. Jesus, I'm seeing 2 out of 10 healed. Why aren't you healing the other 8? Good question. Keep asking. Jesus, I'm seeing 4 or 5 healed out of 10. And for these guys, what, 9 out of 10 healed? They got awesome stories. I'm serious. This question is meant to bother you. Jesus, why isn't this happening? And what a lot of people do, me, what we do is we just go, it must not be God's will. Must not be God's will. And we just stop thinking about it. We give a passive answer to God. We give a passive answer to our own hearts. We give a passive answer to those around us. And we go, it's not God's will. Or we don't even go there. That's too much for me to know. There is a dimension where it's mysterious. But I think God wants to, in a holy way, bother us and go, would you just pursue something greater? Would you get a higher vision than what you're walking in and what those around you are walking in and reach for something higher? I personally am investing years and years and years of prayer and fasting and being faithful and praying for the sick until I start seeing 7, 8, 9, 10 out of 10 healed in my life. The headaches, the cancers, the blind eyes, all that stuff. And so Jesus has this for us. He has this for you. And I'm talking today about pursuing a higher vision. But the second you gave your life to Jesus, God came in you and he was wanting to break out in power. You might feel like you barely connect to Jesus in intimacy, or you've never seen the sick healed. You could see the sick healed today. Jesus, what I'm saying is that he has something available for you right now, and he has so much more available for us if we'll press in for it. But right now, I mean, right now, you go and pray for someone, and you be faithful, that God's going to do some amazing stuff. And so I don't want to make the vision so high that you're like, okay, I got to wait 10, 20 years. I mean, right now, the second you gave your life to Jesus, you maybe had 2 addictions already at that time. God, I'm addicted to this. I'm addicted to that. Gave my life to Jesus last night. Jesus would have, and maybe some of you did, use you for a dramatic healing or miracle day one. And he has no problem with that. Jesus, I'm addicted to alcohol. You can't use me to heal that person. He goes, I'm going to. And I will, because I love you and I love them. Okay? So it's available right now. First John 4, it says that Jesus came to break everything that the enemy has done. Jesus came and he was sent by the Father to break everything that Satan did. And Satan has done a lot. Acts 10 says the same thing, that Jesus was anointed by the Holy Spirit to come and break oppression and to heal all those that were sick and oppressed by the devil. And so this is why he came. And it's all over the Gospels. It's just amazing. And so now us, Jesus anoints us to heal. And he wants a partnership. You know, someone might ask, well, Jesus knows everyone's situation. He can do it by himself. And Jesus goes, you're right. I do know their situation. And I could just whisper from heaven and they would be healed. Right? Jesus can breathe from his throne and he would see people raised from the dead right now. And he goes, but I don't want to do that. I don't want to do it by myself. Jesus wants friends in this ministry. He goes, I don't want to heal them by myself. I want friends to do it with me. I want you to feel compassion for those people just like I feel it. And I want you to be excited by the power that moves through you. And Jesus wants all the glory, but he also wants us to share in that glory. He loves it. We're partners in this forever. I don't know if you know this, but you're a king forever. Forever with Jesus. You're not like on some mini throne. You're with Jesus forever on a throne. And he goes, I want friendship and partnership in this process. There's real emotions that we can feel. I want to feel Jesus' emotions for the sick, for the oppressed. I have this lady that walks by my house every day. We live downtown. And she, I don't know what's going on with her. You hear her shouting to the air as she carries her suitcase back and forth all day. She sleeps at the laundromat. She's probably 65 or 70, but that's what she looks like anyway. And I have never interacted with her. I just see her. And as I was going into this topic, God was reviving this holy anger at the enemy and brokenness. And I began seeing her, and then something in my heart was being gripped going, this is not okay. It's not okay that she's homeless. It's not okay that she's probably demonically tormented and manifesting demons. Like, this is not okay. She has an eternal inheritance if she says yes to Jesus. And right now her life is completely cut off. She is a slave to Satan and to the broken systems in my city. And I'm guessing no one's paying attention to her except for Jesus. And he was going, this is what I feel all the time. This is what I feel. Jesus is zealous. He hates Satan. Do you know every little whisper from a demon over your life? Jesus goes, I hate that whisper. I hate that demonic torment. Jesus came and set several people free. And so I forget the story exactly, but a woman was oppressed, I think, for 18 years. And Jesus came and he broke off the spirit and healed her in 1 second. But he wasn't some disconnected minister going, oh, I see that you're suffering, my dear. Be healed in the name of Jesus. Or be healed in my name. He wasn't like some disconnected figurine walking, you know what I mean? Void of emotion. Jesus was gripped. I think every single time in the Gospels where it says he was moved with compassion or had tears coming to his face, it was because of a death or a sickness. And what was his response? Healing. Raising them from the dead. Jesus, one time he was coming to a city, and there was a funeral happening, and it was a mom, and her only son had died. And it says that she didn't have a husband. And Jesus sees this funeral procession coming out of the city, and is coming up with his disciples. And it says he saw the mom, he saw the death of her son, and he knew somehow that this was her situation. She had nobody else, you know, no husband, no other kids. This was her one son. And it says he was moved with compassion, and so he walks up. And I don't think he was moved a little bit and going, yeah, I'm going to do something cool. I think Jesus was more than we can imagine, so touched in the deepest places going, I was waiting. I think he had a divine moment where he was waiting to go to this city gate knowing that this crowd was coming out. And he walks up to the coffin and he commands that son to be raised up from the dead. And how did that impact the mom's life for the next 20, 30 years? You know, was she the greatest evangelist ever? Jesus is good. No, he's not. You better believe he is. He raised my son from the dead. He knew the details of my life. He knew I had no other possession, no other family. Jesus restored my life. And Jesus goes, I care. I care. And it was because of the heart of those that he was around. Just declare it over your own life that every single broken area of your heart, you might have a broken area in your emotions. You might have an addiction. You might have a physical issue. And I don't know how or when Jesus is going to touch you, but I can guarantee you his heart is this. I care. I see it. I feel more of your issue than you feel. Jesus is more in touch with your issues than you are. Jesus, my knee is in pain. He goes, I care about that. I care about that. What was I talking about? He wants partnership. Okay. Matthew 10, this is so interesting. Matthew is packed with healing verses. I was just reading this yesterday. Matthew 8 and Matthew 9 is almost entirely Jesus healing and delivering. Almost entirely, just one after another. Demonized man in the graveyard, he sets him free. Blind men, someone raised from the dead, it's like just another day's work for Jesus. About 12 stories, boom, boom, boom. Jesus healing or delivering. I just love it. And then chapter 9, it comes to an end, and it says that the great multitudes came to him again, and he just healed all of them, and he was delivering people from demons with a word. And then the next verse in Matthew chapter 9, Jesus sees the great multitudes around him, and he heals them, and his disciples are with him, and he makes this amazing statement that missions people love. When he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them. So just picture him looking at 5 or 10,000 people in this huge field. He's going, I am stirred with compassion for these people. He was moved with compassion for them because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. And then he turns to his disciples and says this. The harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest. Jesus goes, there's so many more people to be healed, saved, and delivered. But there's not enough people in the harvest to go and get it. It's there, but we need more laborers. He goes, pray that God would send out more laborers. Anybody ever heard that passage? That's something we pray for the nations. So then Jesus, in chapter 10, he goes, oh, wait a second. I have all of you. In chapter 10, he goes, he called the 12 to himself, and he gave them power over every spirit to cast them out, heal all kinds of diseases, all kinds of sicknesses. It's like Jesus saying, there's so much of a harvest. There's a great need for healings and deliverance and salvation. Pray that I would send out more laborers. And they're like, send us out. Maybe they said that. And he turns around and he goes, I'm going to give you power over demons. You will cast them out. What you just saw me do for 5 or 10,000 people, I'm going to give you the same authority to do that. And Jesus, to me, was connecting the dots. I think that the Great Commission is going to be fulfilled in our generation. I believe that every single tribe, every single tongue in Africa, South America, America, New Zealand, you know, wherever, every single tribe will have a powerful witness of Jesus. And I think that one of the primary signs of the gospel going forth will be healings and miracles and deliverance. I think Jesus in chapter 9 and 10 is saying, the harvest is plentiful, but the Great Commission's only going to be fulfilled if you walk in the power that I'm walking in. You can't just preach the gospel, guys. You can't just preach the gospel devoid of power. You can't walk without healing. You can't walk without casting demons. How many of you want to cast out demons and actually see a life transformed? To come across a drug addict who's desperate, or an alcoholic who's desperate, or stuck in pornography, or just has tormenting thoughts and tormenting dreams, and you can actually break off the demonic torment, or the cancer that's tormenting the body, or whatever it is. Jesus goes, to see the harvest come to pass, it's going to take the Matthew 9, the Matthew 10 power of healings and miracles. One guy said it this way. He said, there's no presentation of the gospel in the Gospels or in the book of Acts that did not include a power demonstration. A word of knowledge, a prophetic word, an angel, a healing, a deliverance. And this is, we need it. So maybe you see healings once in a while. Can I just tell you this? Pretend like you never see them. Don't be content at all where you're at. Well, I've been in the charismatic church for 30, 40 years. I've heard it. I believed in it. I've taught on it a few times. I'm good where I'm at. I would just say this. Start over. Just pretend like you never see them and go, I want 10 out of 10. I want cancers healed right in front of my eyes. I want blind eyes open. I want the person to get set free from the demon right there as I'm praying for them. And I'm not content with it happening 5 years ago. I'm not content with the stories that I had 10 years ago when I was more intense on this. Jesus moved me on past the healing thing. I don't think that happens. In the book of Acts, the same thing, healings just continue. And they continue and continue. And that healings and miracles were the door breaker. Every single time the apostles and disciples would go into a new city or do something, it was almost always healings and miracles that broke out with the unbelievers, and then they share the gospel, that the preaching of the gospel and the healing of the sick always go together. Because the gospel pierces to the spiritual, deliverance to the soul, healing to the body. Jesus, the gospel is not just a spiritual reality. He wants to have the gospel, the good news of Jesus saving, head every dimension of our lives, of our bodies, of our hearts. And so in the book of Acts, it happens. Acts 2, the Holy Spirit's poured out. We love that. But Acts chapter 4 and 5, I think, might have been more intense. Acts chapter 4 and 5, we see the early church praying and fasting. And the end of chapter 4, verse 30, they're praying. And this is so crazy. Again, the apostles who had seen some crazy stuff, there had been one dramatic miracle already of a guy that was paralyzed, I think 40 years, and he's healed. And it says everybody in Jerusalem knew about this healing, just one healing. And so now chapter 4, they've seen all this stuff. The Holy Spirit was poured out in chapter 2. And verse 30 of chapter 4, it says, these same people that saw Jesus doing signs and wonders and miracles, these same people that experienced the tongues of fire resting on them, these same apostles that saw 3,000 saved in one preaching of Peter. In verse 30, they say, God, stretch out your hand to heal, that signs and wonders may be done through the name of Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. I know most of us have been filled with the Holy Spirit initially. There's so much more. If the apostles who Jesus breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit, and then some days later received the Holy Spirit and the outpouring, if again, some months later, they're saying, Holy Spirit, fill us again, then we need a fresh infilling of the Holy Spirit. And if they're saying, God, stretch out your hand that healings and miracles will be done. Guys, these guys were seeing it with Jesus. And then he passes on the baton and they go, Jesus, this isn't enough. We need you to heal and do signs and wonders. If they weren't content with the power that they saw, how can we be content? Saw Jesus raising the dead. I love this. These guys were on fire. And you know what? They were weak and broken like you. They had their moments of what's going on here. They're just like us. Signs and wonders. Verse 31, they prayed. The place was shaken. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. And they spoke the word of God with boldness. Now the multitude of those who believed were of one heart. Verse 33, and the apostles walked in great power and gave witness to the resurrection. You can't give a witness to Jesus without great power. And great grace was upon them. Okay, skipping to chapter 5. Now here's what happens in chapter 5, verse 11, is that great fear comes upon all those in the church and all those that heard the previous parts of chapter 5. But verse 12, it says, and through the hands of the apostles, many signs and wonders were done through the people, and they were all with one accord in the temple area. Verse 13, this is a church growth method. Yet none of the rest dared join them. There's so many signs and wonders breaking out that unbelievers were scared to join the church. Church growth model. But the people esteemed them highly, and believers were increasingly added to the Lord, multitudes of men and women. Well, wait a second, I thought they were scared. Well, they were, but then the ones that were sincere came in, and the multitudes were coming in because of the signs and wonders, which I think was greater than Acts chapter 2. Verse 14, believers were increasingly added to the Lord, multitudes. Verse 15, this is the healing part. So that they brought the sick out into the streets and laid them on beds and couches so that the shadow of Peter might pass by and fall on some of them. When was the last time church service was so good that the whole city brought the sick people outside the building? When was the last time your small group, home group meeting was so good that your neighbors all flocked around your house and they laid their cancerous moms and dads, the lame, the paralyzed, the son that's tormented by demons, laid them out on the sidewalk and said, just walk by them. Just walk by them and they will be healed or delivered. When was the last time that happened? This is why I think Acts 4 and 5 was greater than Acts 2. It's so great. The testimony of the power was so great in the city that even the surrounding towns brought their sick into Jerusalem. Verse 16, a multitude gathered from the surrounding cities to Jerusalem. So surrounding towns and villages, and they didn't have cars back then. So they're bringing in the lame. It's your mom and grandma. It's your son or daughter that has cancer and they can't walk or can't see. Or it just hurts to walk. And so they're either walking in pain or you've got to carry them on a stretcher for several miles. But the testimony of power was so great, they go, if we can get them around these people, they will be healed and delivered. The same things we heard about Jesus a few years ago, the same things happening in Jerusalem. It's happening again. A multitude gathered from the surrounding cities to Jerusalem, bringing the sick people and those who were tormented by unclean spirits. Again, deliverance and healing are always happening together. And they were all healed. Who wrote the book of Acts? Luke. Luke, how many people were on the sidewalks? I'm not going to tell you. How many people came from other cities? I'm not going to tell you. How many people actually came? And was this a day? Was this a week? Like, what was happening right here? Luke is vague and just says, they all came. They were all healed. And I was thinking about this recently. Say this church building, that there's 500 to 1,000 sick people and demonized people that are laid out on that street. And now we all go and just walk by them and they're all getting healed and delivered. So let's say half of 500 people are, there's some kind of demonic torment. What's it look like for 200 or 300 people to get set free from demons at one time? Loud, messy, chaotic. And now you have 200 or 300 people set free from a demon and they're so excited. They're really, really excited. So this was like a big parade. This was crazy. I know I'm kind of being loud and fast right now, but this is just awesome. And this is what's available to us. The power always opens the door. Mark 16, Jesus, before he goes to heaven, he says, everybody who believes, you can speak in tongues, you can heal the sick, and you can cast out demons. And there's another one that I think is interesting. Something about poison and snakes. But he says this, so all those who believe can speak in tongues. All those who believe can heal the sick. All those who believe can cast out demons. I'm guessing most of us have not, with our eyes, seen a demon cast out. But it's available to us. It's available to us. Well, it's just for the pastor or the worship pastor or the missionaries in a different country. Or that cool guy that wrote that book, you know, that we love. Bill Johnson and whoever else. They do that stuff. Casting out demons is meant to be every single Christian's experience. I've only been saved for a few months or a couple years. I don't read the Bible that much. I don't pray that much. I have a couple addictions. And Jesus goes, you can cast them out. You are walking with a badge that says Jesus on it. I don't know any other way to say that. You can do it. We just got to ask for it and begin to walk in it. So again, the anointing is present already. God is in you and he wants to break out today. And we just start there and say, God, I don't even know how much you'll do today. So I'm going to step out and pray for the sick. And I'm going to pursue this thing. And then I'll leave it up to God how much he wants to do and when he wants to do it. And I'm not going to look back. I want to just talk to a number of you today. You have a prophetic word over your life. Or you've been stirred. The topic of healing for some reason sticks out to you. I want to talk to you for a second. I want you to pursue it in a fresh measure. We need the gift of healing to arise in the body of Christ. We don't need any more one-person ministries. I don't want to be the one person up here praying for the sick. I don't see that much happen. We need the whole body of Christ. We need every single gifting, the prophetic, the healing, gifts of miracles. We need that to arise. And if everybody in the room is thinking, well, it's for the other person, or they're going to rise up, or whatever, then none of us are going to do it. We need every single normal Christian just to rise up and say, God, I don't know my portion. This is exciting to me. I believe it. It's in the Word. And I want as much as you'll give me. I want as much as you'll give me. Who knows Bill Johnson? Who knows Randy Clark, some of the famous healing people? Do you know that your healing anointing might be greater than theirs? You have no idea what God has portioned for your life. I have no idea. I just want to press with my and do my part and let Jesus decide. But I think we always assign it to the cool person that wrote the book. We assign it to the pastor, to the, you know, whatever. And Jesus goes, you have so much that you could walk in right now. So I want to call you to a fresh pursuit of this and to be really intentional and active. And you can decide what that looks like for you. But I would say that there's praying involved, there's fasting involved. And then the huge part is just praying for the sick whenever you see them. Some years ago, I was wanting to see more healings, and so I prayed every day, God, I want to see more manifestations of power, more manifestations of power. And then every single person that I came across, I worked at a homeless shelter. Every person that I came across that told me they had an issue, I have a sore throat, I have a headache, or they have a cast, every single person, I prayed for them right there. Just stop 1 second. Can I just pray really quick? And there was something in me going, if you just be faithful with every single sickness that you see, God will do more. And I saw more. In 1 month, I saw it starting to increase and increase a little bit more. And I saw a broken bone healed that first month. I don't have time for the story, but I saw more just being faithful and just praying a little bit. God, I want to see more healings. And God, oftentimes, He gives us the Bible and He'll help us. He'll inspire us with a message or a prophetic word. Something will inspire us. It's like a jump start. We go, oh man, I want to see more of that. And so He helps us. He inspires us. And He kind of backs off and goes, how do you want to respond to this? I have this much wiggle room. That's my definition. You can respond with one step forward and I'll respond to you with more power. Or you can respond with 3 steps forward and I'll do more. And Jesus with a smile goes, how much do you want to respond to this inspiration, to this invitation? And He lets us decide and He gives grace for us to do that. I would fast and pray for it. Again, just do what you know to do. If you never fast, just start with a meal. But just get this on your prayer list and say, God, I want to see more healings. And to begin to pray for the sick more often. And reading the gospel stories in the book of Acts or reading healing books. There's a plethora of books. We have so many books available online and at bookstores and whatever. Just feed yourself on the topic of healings and miracles. And God will build your faith and build your revelation of Him as healer. And it'll begin to break out even more. This is something I've felt at different times is there'd be like a spiritual lethargy on my life for those that I'm around. And God wants us to break out of that. That there could be like a cloud or a ceiling that's like, I just can't get excited about that long term. There is a spiritual lethargy that you might have to break through to get there. And that typically includes growing in prayer. And then getting a high vision. Getting a Acts chapter 5 vision for what God could do through you or do through your church and your small groups, that God could do so much more. You ever heard of the suddenlies of God? God might heal 1 out of 10 people right now in your life. And there might just be a suddenly where 1 week later you start seeing a lot more stuff happen or a ministry time happens or whatever. God likes to anoint people suddenly. I had a friend once who never dreamed. And then in one day, they started having dreams every day or every week, like really, really nice dreams, really good dreams. And the Lord just suddenly broke out and increased their gifting in that area. But they had no dreams up until that point. And so God can do it suddenly. But we need to have a high vision. I'm seriously not content with anything less than all were healed, just like Peter, just like Jesus. And I don't know when or how or what it's going to look like, but that is my vision. And I'm not letting go of anything. The Bible says it. Jesus did it. There's so many people in recent history that have walked in this stuff. I've been watching YouTube clips of the 1950s healing revivals. And they actually have YouTube clips where you can see blind eyes opening. I watched one. It was 3 or 4 kids that were blind completely being healed right there on camera. I'm just like, I want that. I was just crying going, that little kid is seeing for the first time ever. Or that person had cancer and the tumor was falling off their face. I'm like, I want to see that. I want to do that for people in Jesus' name. And I want to be a part of that story. And I don't want to let any person say that's too high of a vision. I don't know that you can have too high of a vision at this point. Where the Holy Spirit's taking the church, I don't think you can have too high of a vision. I don't think you can exaggerate what God's about to do. The streets were filled and all were healed and delivered. You know, was Peter like blown out of his mind going, I never thought this could happen. Who was it? Paul, a couple times he goes, God can do more than you can think or imagine or ask. And he's probably looking back at some of his stories going, guys, the handkerchief was delivering them. They brought a handkerchief to me. It touched my body. I gave it to them. And demons were coming out from the handkerchief that touched my body. Paul was probably like, God can do more than you can imagine. Does that make sense? I think Paul is blown away. He's going, guys, this is not normal. I don't always have handkerchiefs delivering the possessed or healing the sick. This is not normal. This is awesome. This is more than I could have imagined. So that's that group. And I want to pray for them in a second. And the other group is most of us. Or it might be a relative of yours or someone personal. where you just need a fresh pursuit of being healed. You need a fresh pursuit of being healed. What is your issue? And I'm going to talk about the heart too. You might have an addiction. You might have an emotional issue of fear or tormenting dreams, or again, some kind of an addiction. And there's a frustration where you've just stopped asking God for help in that area, or believing that He could actually set you free, or that He would heal your body, or that He would heal your relative or your child or something. And either it's a small issue or it's a big one, but some part of you is shut down and you stopped asking, or you stopped asking with a sincere faith in your heart. And I believe that that's a critical to respond to. That we need to wrestle with God and His nature and His heart as healer. Me and my wife had a miscarriage a few years ago, and we couldn't get pregnant, and then we got pregnant, and then we lost the baby. So it was like all kinds of frustrating things happening at the same time. And we did well long term, but I remember in the process, we knew that we were vulnerable to losing the baby over a week's time span. And so every time we're going to the hospital to get another update on what's happening, we're just praying in the Spirit, putting our hands on Bethany's belly. God, we speak healing, we speak healing, we speak healing. And after a week, the baby passed away. We're just like, what happened to all those prayers and what was God's will? And da-da-da. There was kind of like a haze of thoughts that comes over you. And it doesn't always make sense until it's you or until it's your spouse or your kid, someone near and dear to you. And that's so personal when someone's suffering or struggling or when there's a death that's in your face. And we have to wrestle with all those questions and wrestle with God. Are you the healer? And I believe that the Lord wants to touch us with that and go, I am the healer. You might not see everything that's happening because He clearly is not healing everybody at this time. And we need to ask those questions with a sincere heart, but an informed heart, where we're reading the Bible and going, God, this is what You're like. I don't understand what's happening in my life or in my body, but I know this is Your desire. This is Your heart is to heal and to restore, and You care. So God, I'm coming again. God, heal my painful shoulder. Heal my chronic pain in my knee. Heal my headaches, my migraines that come once a week. Heal the emotional issue of fear, of anxiety, of anger. Heal the addiction to pornography or drugs or alcohol or to tobacco. And God wants us to come with that vulnerable heart saying, God, I don't even know if You're going to do anything right now. This is vulnerable. It's vulnerable, God. God, would You do it? I had a student in my small group, and I'm going to end with this. I had a student in my small group one time, and he had one of his hands was like deformed in some way. Like he's missing fingers or they're shriveled up or something. So his hand's kind of just smaller. And he was in his young 20s, not married. And so had some kind of an insecurity about this, you know, kind of hit his hand a little bit. And he would never stand up for healing time. Never would stand up. And he was an awesome guy. I believe he believed in healings. But for him, it was like it's in his face all day, every day. And he's like, God has never healed it. You know, how many times did someone pray for his hand and nothing happened? And he would never stand up. And I go, why don't you stand up? He goes, God never does anything. And it's such a big issue. Like, God, I think He could, but could He really make my hand be restored right there in front of my eyes? Or could He even do it progressively? He goes, I can't keep my heart in that position of faith long enough. Does that make sense? I can't keep asking like that because it puts my heart out there. And when there's no answer or when it seems like there's a negative answer, it's too painful emotionally. And I go, you have to. And he didn't. But here's what I told him. I go, if you stand up and receive prayer, it will open your heart and open your heart and open your heart. And we don't know what's going to happen. God wants to heal and He can heal. But at the very least, you're going to connect to Him and He's going to have your heart in a vulnerable, sensitive, tender place. And He can reveal Himself as healer and He can break off all the accusations, regardless of what's happening in your time, in your timeline with your body. So I want to pray for two groups of people. Is one, God has spoken to you or stirred you for healing in some way. I want you to raise your hand. Again, you might be thinking, I don't know, but that it's excited me in the past. That is enough. Raise your hand. Might be little impressions like, I think there might be something there. Raise your hand. Okay? Is anybody feeling stirred today? Maybe you feel stirred emotionally. Maybe you feel God just kind of touching you at different times. We're going to pray for you in a second. And then I want those that you have a chronic sickness or illness and you want to be prayed for, and I don't even know what's going to happen today. I don't even care really about that. But it's the opening of your heart saying, I want to start asking for that again. And I'm going to leave it up to God when and how he does it, but I'm going to start asking for healing again in my body for the smallest thing. We had a lot of glasses in here. A lot of glasses on your eyes. God, heal my eyes. I want 20/20 vision, right? We stop asking for the glasses thing because it's so small. I want to start asking for that again. So I want the people that raised your hand a second ago, would you stand up? Just stand up and then come up front quick. Chris, if you're in this group, then just get prayer. It's up to you. You guys pray for people. Okay. Okay. So just come up front, open your hands. And maybe something cool happened to you, I don't know. But just you're saying, God, I want more. I want a greater sense of that power moving through my hands. I want to see more stuff happen, but it's even a setting of the heart. I want to walk in partnership with you and friendship with you, God. So Holy Spirit, we just thank you for your presence. And we're going to pray for the sick in a minute too. God, we ask you for your fire to rest on their hands. We ask you for that healing anointing, God, that is so dear to your heart. Right now, God, we ask you for a fresh activation of the gift of healing. God, I ask you for a tangible fire to rest on hands even now. Tangible fire to rest on hands even now, God. Tangible, God, fire and presence resting on these hands. God, we ask you for an activation of healings and miracles. Deliverance, power, God, resting on these hands. We ask you for more, God. Touch every hand, God. Just take a minute and just ask God. Just say, God, I set my heart. I want more of this, God. I want to be faithful with the things that you've spoken over my life. Those who are faithful in little, he'll give more. God, we ask you for more. We ask you for more, God. Gifts of miracles. Gifts of miracles, God. We set fresh fire. God, like Acts 4, we cry out, stretch out your hand right now. Set your seal upon us. Just thank you. We just say no to unbelief. God, just the chronic little thoughts that come to us that you're disconnected, that make us not even ask. We just break our agreement, God, as a congregation with a spirit of unbelief. Let's just do that. We might not even struggle with it. We just confess that. Lord, say, God, I break my agreement with unbelief. Every thought that's contrary to Jesus as healer. I break that agreement. I silence every whisper. I break every ceiling over my life. Yeah, anybody that needs healing, you might have something small, something big, it's been years, I want you to raise your hands. I know it's most people. Okay, so just go out there first and pray for those. We can officially dismiss right now if you need to leave, but if you want prayer, just stay here. Keep your hand raised. Let's go out there and just pray for them, simple prayers.
ask them what they need healing for.